We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Now past 10 o'clock. This is the time we would normally start. And producer Mike is eating an apple, what kind of looks like a donut. Watching the World Series right now. So Houston leads the series 3-2. They could win tonight. It's the top of the eighth. They're the home team. So they would at least get a chance in the bottom of the ninth if they had dramatic fashion ways to win. But, so spoiler alert, you probably heard it at the top of the hour with CBS anyway. Washington is up over Houston 5-2 right now. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Washington looking to tie this thing up. The ratings were not good for the World Series. I was looking at them, and they have been way down. Now, if the Cardinals were in it, I'm sure it'd be better, but let's just not throw the hypotheticals out there. There's been controversy. I mean, this game, it seems to be dragging on. If it started Central Time, 7:08 first pitch, something like that, so we're at 3 hours into it, and I guess it's in the eighth. That's not too bad. This is just a little bit longer than average, but considering the significance of a game like this, it would normally take a little bit longer. But also considering the significance of what happened, there was a call on the field that they reviewed, and pretty controversial. You said the Nationals manager was ejected? Gone. I would have been mad, too. If I were him, I would have thrown the bench right on to the field. I mean, I would have thrown a fit like crazy. And good for him to do something like that. I know you don't want to be thrown out. Now, let's just say, so it was the Washington Nationals manager that got tossed. Okay. Were you been watching the game all night? Have you been keeping an eye on this thing? Not really. I try to find there's a certain hierarchy of sports. And when there's a championship on the line, it seems like that takes the precedent. But, you know, at the same time, I don't get all that excited for baseball. So it's just fun to have in there. Oh, first manager ejected from a World Series game since Bobby Cox in 1996. That's a good record to have, isn't it? I think it's worth it. I think it was worth the protesting and whatnot. But you would think in the most important game of the season for your club, considering they're trying to stay alive in the World Series, you'd want to be out there. Wonder where he goes when he's ejected. Is it just back to the locker room office or something? You know what was making some grounds online? John Legend and Kelly Clarkson said they're going to come together and make a remake of the classic song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. Isn't that kind of, come on now, do we have to? Like every year we talk about this. And then some knucklehead somewhere said, oh, this song supports rape culture. And then some other knucklehead said, yes, it does, it does, it does. And all of a sudden, people get upset about this. Yeah, you're laughing at me. That's what happens. You get one person to say something stupid. You know, there was that instance over in Area 51 where one guy went online and said, hey, let's raid Area 51. They can't stop all of us. We'll get all the alien information. It was one person that said that as a joke. And then a bunch of other people started signing up. Millions of people online said, okay, I'll come with you to raid Area 51. Now, considering almost all of those people understood it was a joke, there were still thousands that didn't see it as a joke. They saw it as legitimate. So they showed up that day, and there was a little concert they put on or whatever it was. And, you know, some people got arrested for trying to actually get into Area 51. But some people take these things seriously. That's kind of what happens with this song. There was one person somewhere that I'm sure said it as a joke. Oh, yeah, this supports rape culture. The song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. And then other people start jumping on it. Yeah, it does, it does, it does, it does. And the next thing you know, radio stations are stopping to play it because they believe there's some sort of outrage out there when it's really manufactured and it's not true. CBS did a story on it.
Listen to the fireplace
roar. So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe.
Do I need to say trigger alert? before we play this, just to make sure, you know, if anyone listening right now is offended by this song.
The neighbors might
think. But baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew.
All right, so as we all know, Gail, that is the old version.
No, it's not the old version. It's the legitimate version. Don't call it the old version. You're not taking it over. It's like people saying that new ABC song, oh, that the original is the old ABC song. No, there's only one ABC song, and you know what it is. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. You know it. Don't you dare try to say there's a newer version to it.
1944 duet written by Frank Lesser.
And I like
Cold Outside, and you love it. So in recent years, as you know, the song has come under fire from critics who say it is...
No, not critics, knuckleheads. Do you remember when they actually did a deep dive into that song and they pointed out that the writer of the song would perform this with his wife at dinner parties? That's the origination. That they would do it as a performance when they would do it live and go to people's houses and back when dinner parties were really popular. So it would be him and his wife performing this, all right? So
is sexist and promotes date rape.
So why did he say that so weird? Listen.
Date rape.
Didn't he say that a little bit weird? It's a little uncomfortable that anyone would legitimize that stupid idea that it legitimizes date rape.
So now, John Legend tells Vanity Fair he is teaming up with Kelly Clarkson to give the tune a more modern spin with a focus on consent. One of the new verses goes like this. What will my friends think? I think they should rejoice. If I have one more drink, it's your body and your choice.
I hate it already. The song's not out. The lyrics aren't out. I hate it already. Hate it already. Why would they do that? I think what we need to do is we need to woke the woke. I like that idea. So we'll take all the John Legend songs and we're going to put an incorrect context over the John Legend songs and say, oh boy, did you hear about this song? It's actually about supporting the Confederates and the rights to have own slaves. That's what this song's about. Can you believe it? And then we'll start these stupid rumors and most people would look at that and say, no, this is dumb. But then some people will take it over the board and say, actually, this is what it's all about. Let's just do that to John Legend songs or Kelly Clarkson songs. You know, that's how absurd and stupid this is. It's just so dumb. Knuckleheads. Yep, that's what it's about. That's all I hear. Anyone that tries to pretend that they have the true meaning of a song like this. And even the family members, the ones that the descendants of the songwriters would look at that and say how stupid this is. Can you just cut it out already? You know, Dave Chappelle was recently awarded a really great honor. And over the weekend, he was defending the First Amendment, which I think is really awesome. So we're going to talk about that. Some thoughts from Dave Chappelle that need to be heard. We'll take some of your calls, too. If you want to call in at 436-7900 or 800-925 1120. Please try to hold it. If you're going to try to ruin something, if you're going to go back into the archives and try to change the meaning into an alternative meaning that has nothing to do with the original meaning, why don't you just hold it for a minute and just cut it out and stop it? Just flat out, you know, what you need is you need someone to come in and you need someone to tell you one simple thing.
Stop it.
It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Stop it. Stop it.
Bow, bow, bow. It's fun to be with you here tonight on Overnight America. At Ryan Recker on Twitter. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast by going to KMOX.com. I'm watching Major League Baseball, and they're breaking down the curveball, the fast pitch, the changeup. They got it all right there. And I'll tell you, Fox is doing a pretty cool job of the way that they show, here's how the hand changes. Here's how, you know, the ball comes out, and this is where it lands, and this is how it works. It's pretty cool the way they can mesh all of those different things together into one, actually. Dave Chappelle defends freedom of speech and cancel culture, which is good for Dave Chappelle. He's been doing something like this, and I know there's a lot of comedians that are very upset with the way anything's going today in society, and they're very upset the fact that you can't even tell a joke anymore without everyone getting upset. You can't, in the context of comedy, in the context of a comedy club, you still can't even do that. Dave Chappelle spoke in favor of freedom of speech for comedians in the U.S. while accepting the prestigious Mark Twain Prize for American Humor on Sunday. His comedy special that was posted on Netflix earlier in the year was somewhat controversial because, you know, he said, under the context of comedy, some controversial things, and that's what you tend to do if you're trying to make a joke. It's not like that anywhere else in the world. You find that there are some pretty big issues when it comes to freedom of speech where it's not allowed. And we see, too, there are some pretty big freedoms that they're fighting for over in Hong Kong, and you see the protests that are over there. But if you speak out poorly against the Chinese government, how they're handling it, or how they do not trust the freedoms to their people, then you could be banned even for telling a joke about it. And celebrities have found out very quickly that that could really be the case. You could be banned from that entire country. You find tech companies have always struggled. How are they going to handle China? It's one of the largest economies. You have billions of people that are at stake when it comes to your customers and consumers and tech companies and social media. Some of them bow, some of them don't. Some have bowed and changed their minds. It's hard to keep up anymore. But in the end, China is not your friend when it comes to these things. They don't have freedoms like they have here in the United States of America. It's important to point out, and we look at the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for the redress of grievances. It's the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. And when we look at these things, how important is it, freedom of speech, when it comes to anything we do? When it comes to beyond just joke telling, freedom of religion, how often do we find ourselves where people are trying to have the government restrict religious beliefs? Beto O'Rourke down in Texas, very, very, very narrow look at that, would argue, and this is what he had argued in the past. I think he's since come back and changed his mind on it, but argued, well, if you're a church and you biblically support the views of a marriage between one man and one woman, then you are terribly racist, bigoted, whatever, fill in the blank type of words, and you do not deserve a certain non-taxable status. You know, the reason they have these things, and this comes up every once in a while, and it's important to remember what happens when the government can take over religion. Look what happens in other countries where this happens too. You find persecution of certain religions, let it be Christians in some areas in the Middle East, where just professing your belief in the Bible or your belief in God or Jesus could not only land you in jail, it could have you it could have you killed. You could be someone that faces a death sentence. Here in the United States, there's a reason why we don't want the government going out there and picking your beliefs or using it a way to threaten to take away tax statuses or whatnot. You don't want them to have that power over your beliefs. And there should be a separation there. And there is a separation there. You know, if the government goes in and uses that same power for any other constitutional power, let's say freedom of speech, let's say the government says, okay, you have the freedom of speech, but you're going to be punished if you say something we don't like. So go ahead, you can say whatever you want, but you know, you might be jailed for it. Go ahead, you can say whatever you want, but you might be, we'll strip away any of your Social Security, or we'll take away your tax refund, or we'll do this, or we'll do that. Okay, go ahead, say something, but you know, we're going to be the ones that decide what you say could be the thing to take away all the benefits of being a United States citizen. You know, and you can look at that in the press's sake too. You know, we have the free press. And imagine if the government said, well, okay, you can report what you want about the government, but if it's something negative, something that's, you know, let's say you talk about something that's been leaked from the White House and you report that into your newspaper, we'll just come in and arrest you for doing that. You know, you don't have that freedom in that First Amendment. When comedians step up, they realize that they are a target because the things they say are controversial. Some people believe that it's hate speech. If you say something and you joke about a minority, or, you know, let's say you joke about someone having a different color skin as you, or you joke about someone being LGBTQ, or you joke about someone that's trans, or you joke about someone that's whatever that people would get offended over. And in the context of telling that joke, someone gets offended. People want the government to step in and punish that person for saying something like that because they're the ones that are offended. And comedians realize that this is the death of comedy. This is the death of free speech. If you're not allowed to express yourself freely, if you're not allowed to share ideas freely, knowing that the government may punish you for those freedoms or for those expressions or those ideas, if they can come in and punish you, then all of a sudden we're no better than these other countries that persecute anyone for their ideas. You're no better than China, the way they treat their citizens in the protests in Hong Kong. You're no better than some of these countries in the Middle East that will jail you for being a Christian, or even worse. You're no better than some of these countries that if they find out, you know, you say something, or they find out you're homosexual or lesbian or whatever it is, that they'll throw you off the top of a building. You're no better than that if you don't have these freedoms and these protections. And it's worth standing up for these things. People have this idea that hate speech is so widely available and out there that hate speech is anything that would be considered offensive to you, the individual. You're the one that it's relative to. And in general, there's really not hate speech. If you were to try to define hate speech, you're going to find very quickly that it's going to be subjective to what your preferences and tastes are. There's not hate speech, there's free speech. There's things you don't like about it, and there's things you don't have to agree with. You don't have to subscribe to it, but it is still free speech, and that's, there's no other way to it. And I like that the comedians are the ones that are taking the brunt of the front lines on this, because they have to. You realize just how crazy it's gotten when it comes to this sort of PC and cancel culture. Like, here's Dave Chappelle, for example. And even while he's getting an award, the Mark Twain Award, had to joke about it.
We talk with several joke-telling pros about comedy in the Trump era and whether political correctness has gone too far. Here's what Chappelle himself had to say.
Political correctness has its face, its place, excuse me. We all want to live in a polite society. We just have to kind of work on the levels and come to an agreement of what that actually looks like. I personally am not afraid of other people's freedom of expression. I don't use it as a weapon. It just makes me feel better. And I'm sorry if I hurt anybody, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. Everything I'm supposed to say.
Okay. Yada, yada, yada. Everything I'm supposed to say. That's Dave Chappelle. He put it very bluntly and important. I think it's a message that needs to be out there. So good for him. Good for Dave Chappelle. Standing up for the First Amendment. And one of the things he said, and let me just read this other quote. It says, I don't get mad at him when it comes to people that are trying to point out, you know, when it comes to this cancel culture, PC culture. He says, man, it's not serious. The First Amendment is first for a reason. Second Amendment is just in case the first one doesn't work out. Dave Chappelle. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Okay, so just about a half hour ago, the Post-Dispatch posted an article called MLS Stadium Will Go North of Market Street. This is in a different area than I think they originally talked about, and this is kind of, this is different than I thought it would be. Yeah, Producer Mike, if you can go over there, help me get my bearings. Now, right in the front, let me see if I can make this larger here. Open image in new tab. Okay, so there's new renderings. The Post-Dispatch got a copy of it, and they made an article around it. So now they're looking at building the soccer stadium north of Market, which means it would be Kitty Corner to Union Station.
Caddy Corner.
Caddy Corner. Wait, yeah, Caddy Corner, yeah, or Kitty Corner? It's Caddy Corner?
Caddy.
I always thought it was Kitty Corner.
No.
Really? I've said that Kitty Corner my entire life.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
No.
My entire life.
That's amazing.
So just to the west of Union Station, in this rendering, they don't have the Ferris wheel in it, but that's where the Ferris wheel would be. It looks like where that parking lot is where the Ferris wheel is. But just a little bit to the west of that would be the practice field. in this rendering. And then right across the street from it on Market Street would be where the stadium is. How are they going to jam a soccer stadium there, honestly? How do they have the space? There's so much more space on the area that's to the south of Market Street where the practice field will go, as opposed to the main arena on the north side of Market Street. Is that, am I looking at this correctly? Am I getting my bearings straight?
Yeah, you got it correct. It looks like the actual stadium now would be on the same side of the street as that Drury Inn, and I think it's a Drury Inn, the restaurant inside there, Cyberg's.
Why would they put it there, though?
I don't know. Maybe there is more space, because the building that was formerly Harry's, that's on the side where the practice fields are, where the stadium was originally said to be, I think that's closer to Union Station. It kind of narrows that gap. So I don't know. I think the spacing might be similar.
Well, when you scroll down, they have a couple of other pictures, and there's one where they do an aerial drawing, and it shows Market Street there, and you see the soccer field with all of the seats around it, and those are covered, and you look to the south of Market, and you see there's two practice soccer fields, two full soccer fields. You think the stadium is, the lengthwise would be equal to two soccer fields? I don't know.
I think it's the narrowness there.
The narrowness that makes it look longer? It's like an optical illusion?
No. I'm just saying, I think the gap between Union Station and the length that they would have to build where it was originally intended is more narrow, and I think that would be more of a challenge to fit a field plus stands on both sides of it. You know, you can get away with just putting some practice fields there because you don't have to account for the depthness of stands on both sides.
I don't get why they would try to jam it closer to the north of Market as opposed to the south, where I thought they were trying to expand outward towards the Union Station. So the part that's going to be used the most, you would think, would be on the south side of Market. That's what confuses me. I wonder why they're doing this.
I don't know. I take that Chestnut exit a lot, which is the one that would be demolished for this project.
Right.
And I've always thought this is too narrow for the stadium. So I think that was accurate. I think this proves that and shows it.
They have a lot of pictures posted. And this is the Post-Dispatch. They have it up on their website right now. The planned MLS stadium in St. Louis. A view of the planned stadium looking northwest from 20th and Market Streets. The public plaza with a small soccer field is planned along the eastern edge of the stadium in 20th, according to the renderings obtained by the Post-Dispatch. Let's see. A facility being designed by Hawk. That's how you say that, H-O-K, Hawk. And St. Louis, Minneapolis-based Julie Snow. It looks slick. That stadium looks awesome.
Fantastic.
Doesn't it, though? I mean, you see this thing. It is beautiful. Beautiful. A lot of green there, and just in general, when you see a stadium that looks like that, it is pretty. What do you think that's going to do for all of that area? And that's really not that far from us at all. I mean, this is just a few blocks away from where we're sitting right now. We might be able to, based on where that's at, do you think if we were to be on the top of our building looking down, we can catch that stadium from here? Probably
you'd
could.
See the stadium. I don't think with the overhang that you'd be able to, like, see the field or watch the game.
Yeah, probably not. There's going to be so much development in that area. If that's where they're putting it right there, that's the prices and the development there is just going to be phenomenal. Very exciting. Yeah, I wonder why the renderings, they couldn't put the Ferris wheel up there. They knew that thing was going to go, but maybe when they started these renderings, they were working with older photos of this area and they never updated them. Because, you know, it could be someone in Minneapolis putting this together and doesn't know the landscape or the development of things that are happening here in St. Louis. Man, everything looks so pretty there. I want to just keep zooming in and looking at this thing. Can I zoom in? Oh, there we go. I like how you can see in the background the old Rams dome back there, just kind of like all by itself. It looks like a UFO. Oh, it looks so lonely back there without a team. Well, the XFL is going to be starting there soon enough. Wow, this whole place looks awesome. I got to say, I am blown away by this. It's very similar to previous renderings. We've seen the soccer field, and it looks like there's just these awnings over where the fans would go, and it's kind of like a donut shape. So, you know, you get the squareness of this arena, and the whole outlining area where the fan seating would be is covered, but the actual field itself would be open. And that's what they're looking at right now. And you show all these fans crossing the street. Look at all these pictures of people crossing the street there, and no one's on Market Street. In the renderings, they decided to just eliminate all the traffic that would normally be there. So you think this is a good move when you get off the interstate? You said that you couldn't envision how they were going to be able to jam a stadium.
Yeah, I just always questioned the, like I said, that gap between Union Station, which now the gap would be even smaller with the Ferris wheel there, but the gap between that and, yeah, the buildings on the other side where Harry's used to be, it just never made sense to me, so. This kind of seems a little more manageable, honestly.
This is cool, man. That Drury Inn, they've got to be happy being right next to it. I wonder what else development-wise they're going to do that. Oh, here's another picture where they're looking towards the west as opposed towards downtown. Oh, that looks so cool. That place is jammed. They have all the fans inside there and a bunch of them trying to leave and get into it. I'm pretty excited for that. I feel like there's a lot of opportunity there, and it's a good thing for St. Louis to do this. And ultimately, you know what the interesting thing is now? Let me back that up. So what's on that plot of land right now? Do you know what's there where they're now they move the stadium across the street?
I'm looking at a map right now. I can figure it out.
And the reason I ask that is because part of the appeal of building this is that the state was going to allow them to build on their land, but they were going to privately build the stadium. So they were allowing like a right-of-way almost for them to build the stadium. Now that they're talking about a different location, is that plan still in place, or are they going to have to like buy out properties in order to build this thing here? Like, what is in that spot?
It's kind of just, let's see. It says there's like, you know, Riverfront Times are back there, but I don't know if it goes that far. There's like a Lone Express, St. Louis Empowerment Center.
Yeah, there are buildings there right now.
Right. And just to clarify or correct myself, the hotel there right next to it is actually the Pear Tree Inn. So I was wrong about that. The Drury is the one right next to Union Station.
On the first day.
So they're both right there.
So that's where the... Okay, I see the Pear Tree now. And that basically spot there is at Aloe Plaza West Extension. That's right where the on and off ramps would be. I see getting off of Pine. Yeah. Oh, I know that area now. Okay, so I do... I've drove through on that on ramp before. They were doing some construction.
Yeah, it's when you're heading east on Highway 40. You can take that Chestnut exit there. I think that'll be wiped out because that goes pretty much right through this plot of land.
Maggie O'Brien's. I ate there when I came down to St. Louis to audition for this radio program. So before I came to the show one of the nights, I stopped over there. I got some pizza or some chicken wings or something like that, and then I drove down and came because the station put me up at the Union Station Hotel there, which I got to say is one of the most beautiful hotels I have ever stayed at in my entire life. I keep telling my wife, if we do a staycation, I'm going to take her there. It was so awesome there. I mean, it was just so awesome. So I'm looking at this area. Okay, so maybe they won't. They've got some roads down there, and maybe this would be a good spot. I guess if they're going to take out all of the on and off ramps coming off of 64 in that whole area, if the whole idea is to just take over there and they got that space because basically it's taken up by on ramps right now, they're trying to make the most of that space. I guess that makes sense. Wow, you're probably feeling pretty good about yourself if you owned one of those buildings over there. And even like Olive, it's really close to our building. I'm sure we would be able to see it from our top of our rooftop. That's pretty cool. All right, so way to go, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. They grabbed some of those renderings and they posted it up on their website. If you want to go see it for yourself, you can. And I'm sure that's going to be a big topic coming up tomorrow. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
All right, it's a final. World Series is going to a Game 7. Spoiler alert, you're going to hear it in CBS News anyway. I mean, don't give me... Come on. You're watching this live, I know it. So the Nationals beat the Astros 7-2. And there he is, Max Scherzer, walking off the field because they dropped three in a row and they were about to lose. And Game 7 stays in Houston. And it's tomorrow night. And it's a little after 7 o'clock first pitch, a Game 7 in the World Series. Gotta love a Game 7 championship game. Honestly, that is so cool. Max Scherzer, local boy from Chesterfield, went to Parkview, you said, which is kind of cool. Oh, Parkway Central, and went to the University of Missouri. Awesome. Local boy pitching for Washington tomorrow night. It's a big one. It's no pressure at all. No pressure. No pressure. Don't forget, Eat, Drink, Love, benefiting the Ollie Hinkle Heart Foundation, happening on Sunday, November 10th at the Four Seasons Hotel. It's a big night for an important cause, supporting children with heart defects in the St. Louis region. Get all the event details at KMOX.com. Was that the one I should have read, or did I read the wrong one? That's okay. We've got a couple minutes left. I got this question because this happens every year over at SLU. They'll offer you money to be injected with the flu, and then they study you at SLU. See, there's a lot of rhyming words there. Flu and you and SLU. And I kind of like the idea of all these rhyming words. It's like Dr. Seuss, except you get sick. Would you be injected with the flu if someone paid you? See, that's more rhyming. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I can just keep spitting rhymes at you. So here's the story you can find. Fox 2's got a good write-up on it. It says, you can get paid $3,310 to participate in SLU's flu study. The catch is you'll be infected with the influenza virus, quarantined for at least 10 days under control conditions at SLU. Volunteers will receive a nasal spray containing a strain of the influenza virus. Where do they get that from? Like, do they know someone that has it and then they have the dude cough into this and then they spray the cough into your nose? You know, back in my day, if you wanted to get sick, you found someone who was sick and you have them cough in your mouth and then you get sick and you get off of school for a week. Those were the days. Remember, too, parents used to do this. They used to have parties when one of the kids would get chicken pox and they would get all the other kids together, get it out of the way, get it now, let's get it all done, and then you'll have that immunity to it. Honestly, I think that's a real thing. Even when I was growing up, that was still a thing. I want to say my parents might have done that for me in chicken pox. You could just get it out of the way. Didn't that happen to everyone? Or am I making that up? If any parents could call me, and I'm talking about over the age of 50, probably I should say over the age of 60. If any parent over the age of 60 can tell me if that was a thing or not, I really think it was. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I almost remember that parents would do little chicken pox parties to get all the kids, just get it out of the way all at the same time. So they're not just boom, 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 one after. So it's not like it's all happening randomly. So participating, if you want to get the flu, don't find some random sick person that has a bunch of tissues that are scattered around their desk in the floor. This is what you need to do. You actually have to they're looking for 80 people. So that seems like a lot of people, 80 people for the study. For more information, you can go to vaccine.slu.edu. I think it might be worth it. 10 days of the flu for $3,300. I think I would do it. Producer Mike, would you do it? Thumbs up or thumbs? You would. Honestly, I got the sick time. I know the program director in the station would not appreciate it if I forced myself to get sick and then took sick time and then got paid for the time I was off. They would file a grievance. They would refuse to pay me. They'd probably take it out of my check. So $3,300, that seems like a lot. And honestly, if you're quarantined in like a hospital, not a hospital setting, but if I remember this, it's more like a hotel setting. So you're around other sick people, but you got your own little like hotel room and you can do whatever you want. Think about everything you can do with 10 days off to yourself, no obligation. You know what I do? I'm not the only dad or parent that does this, but there's very few opportunities for you to actually be alone in a house when you got a five-year-old. For example, if I go into the bathroom and I'm there too long looking at my phone or something like that, this is what I'll hear, the little pitter-patter of kids' feet, boo, 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 coming down the hall. Dad, what are you doing? You get no time alone. No time alone. The only time you get alone is when you're taking a shower. Sometimes I'll find myself standing there for 20 minutes just letting the water hit me because it feels good. And I know that no one could bother me while I'm in there. It's the only place I have of solitude in my house. And will I sing? You better believe I'll sing. I will sing the terrible new ABC song, and then I will cry in the shower where no one can see me just because I'll be upset that I'm singing the ABC song. So 10 days to yourself in a hotel setting with everything taken care of, yeah, you might feel like garbage. You might feel terrible, but you get paid. And you don't have to worry about anything else. No other obligations. Now, if I were to do this, I know my wife would hate me. She's like, you're going to leave me alone with the kid for 10 days while you get a sick vacation? No thanks. No thanks. Even for the money she wouldn't. I don't think she'd like it. 436-7900 is the number, or also 800-925-1120. And you can even text in that first line, 436-7900. Let me get to John real quick, who's calling in from Arnold. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing? This is John, the ghost hunter.
Oh, cool.
We'll be in there tomorrow. So yeah. I was just telling the guy there that they used to have, they called them pox parties. Yeah. I was just sitting here doing some research, getting ready for a bunch of stuff going on, and not only tomorrow, but some other things as well. Busy time of year for us, obviously, but yeah, they called them pox parties back in the day, and they used to do that and infect a bunch of children. And fortunately, I didn't have to worry about it, but I did have it when I was pretty young, young anyway. I don't know if I would do the 3,000 or not, but heck, my daughter is sitting here and she said, "I'll sign me up now." I said, "I slow down."
Well, how old your daughter's? Might be too young. It's between 18 and 49. Maybe.
She's 14. I wouldn't let her do it anyway, but would I consider it? I'd consider it, I guess.
It's a lot of money.
$3,000. Yeah, I was aiming a little bit more towards 10, but maybe we can negotiate with them. Yeah. Maybe we can negotiate. We can make it like 5. Maybe I'll do it for 5.
Ooh, I see. So I wonder how hard it is for them to get 80 people. Could I do my show from there, like from the sick ward, and get the money and do that? Maybe we should contact them and see if they want to advertise on the station while I go and do this experiment. Hey, that could be it.
There you go. It works. That's not bad money, though.
Do people want to hear me vomiting while I'm doing the radio program over there?
Great radio, right?
Would it be great radio? Would it, though?
I don't know.
Can people get infected through a speaker? That's a good question. So you're going to be in. Let's preview. You're going to be in tomorrow night from 10 until midnight on the eve of Halloween. What are we going to talk about tomorrow night?
Well, we're going to be, unfortunately, we're a little shorthanded right now. It's funny because it is our busiest time of year, obviously, and so many things going on. We got people down with injury, investigators down with injuries. We got them down with illness, but we'll have a few of us in there at least tomorrow, and we're going to do a little bit more investigating like we did last time, obviously. Ooh. Anybody remembers, we definitely found some things.
But this time,
we actually want to do something, an idea that I actually have been doing kind of in connection with a show that we're doing whereby we're actually going to tell, and I would love to have people call in if they have stories of their own and also listening to ours. We're going to tell some real stories. Using hopefully a little bit of our ability to tell those stories in a really entertaining and good way, hopefully getting everybody ready for that part of Halloween, of things that we've experienced, things, you know, stories we've experienced over the past. And then also we're going to talk about some ones that were made up. I'm a writer.
I love it.
One of our other investigators is a writer, and so we're going to do a little bit of both and then see if people can tell which is which.
All right, so we're going to stay in the studio tomorrow and use some of this stuff, right?
Well, I figured we can do the studio, but if you want to move around, that's fine, too. I know, if you remember, certainly one of our very best EVPs, the one that said, what's going to happen to me, happened right where you're sitting right now.
I'm scared about all of this.
Out,
all right, so tomorrow night, we're back in 2 hours. We're going to have fun with this. Thanks, John. Good to hear from you. John, the ghost hunter. John Lindsay, tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.